And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB, Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have Pedro as our guest. Pedro is a writer, former teacher, educational consultant, and sales consultant.
Born in New York City 84 years ago, Pedro has been a resident of Sonoma County since 1986 and has lived in Puerto Rico, Spain, Mexico, and the Midwest. He loves people, the Spanish language, music, playing the piano, theater, bridge, football, tennis, cooking, computers, crossword puzzles, Scrabble, reading, and writing.
Pedro is obsessive-compulsive film fanatic and critic, and he always sees one or more films every day. His main joy is attending the annual Palm Springs International Film Festival of 200 films from 57 countries and has written articles for them. He believes we are all born with a blank canvas and all the tools to create a masterpiece. Hello and welcome, Pedro.
And hello to you. How nice to be with you this evening.
We're so happy to have you on. I guess we'll talk about our history when we get done with the news and events. But first, what we have to do is we have lots to learn about Pedro and his life. But first, like I just promised, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I'd love to change the world.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of October 4th, 2020. Donald Trump justified his ban on transgender people serving in the military in part by citing the cost of trans troops' health care. Between 2016 and 2019, the military spent about $8 million on medical care for service members, with a vast bulk of that money going to therapy. LGBTQ Nation reported that leaked copies of the president's tax returns showed that in 2010, he claimed a $73 million refund, 28 times the annual cost of health care for those 15,000 service members. The president used every trick in the book to avoid paying his fair share of taxes. In both 2016 and 2017, he only paid $750. In 10 of the previous 15 years, he paid no taxes at all. While he reported millions of dollars in income, he claimed massive losses at his businesses to lower his tax burden. The president wrote off over $70,000 in expenses for hairstyling alone. President Trump has long used the cost of transgender people's health care as justification for banning them from military service, even though it would cost far less than 1% of the price of the border wall. The president has also taken funds from the military budget to pay for that wall. And in Indiana, a high school has apologized to a transgender student after they incorrectly listed her as an option for homecoming king using her dead name. Student Grace Gabner told Fort Wayne television station WPTA, quote, "It reminded me of everything that happened in middle school and how people treated me. It was embarrassing and it took me back to middle school, and that was one of the hardest times," end quote. District spokesman Lizette Downey said, quote, "We made a mistake on our end and we apologize profusely for that error. That was our responsibility, our fault, and we feel terrible about it." And here in California, last Saturday, Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation strengthening protections for LGBTQ Californians, including a measure to track the effect of COVID-19 on the community. Senate Bill 932 by Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco aligns with emergency regulations announced by the California Department of Health in July, requiring better and more timely collection and reporting of communicable disease data from providers and labs on a patient's gender identity and sexual orientation. The governor also signed Senate Bill 132, also authored by Senator Wiener, which requires the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, that's the organization that runs the state's prison system, to house transgender, gender nonconforming, and intersex people according to their sense of where they will be safest. This new law requires the Department of Corrections to record the individual's self-reported gender identity, gender pronouns, and honorifics throughout an inmate's term.
For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the LGBT news headlines we're following, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
I love to change the world, but I don't know what to
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan. And in studio, we have Pedro, a film lover who sees at least one film per day. And we want to thank you, Pedro, for taking your time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight.
It's a pleasure for sure.
So I first met you in acting class in Guerneville.
How many years ago?
I was just going to ask you that.
Oh, gosh.
At least 20.
Oh, Lord, long time ago.
Yes, and we really connected with one another. And
the first day, yes, immediately.
Yeah.
I was petrified. I had never acted in many years. I was a child actor, but our mutual friend, Dear John, said that I needed more friends in Sonoma County, and this was the way to do it. In that acting seminar, and you were the first one that I acted with, and I felt so comfortable with you, and still do.
Nice story.
That is a really nice story. Okay, here's a trivia question. I don't know the answer. What did we do when we acted together? What was our skit?
Well, most of the teacher Nancy's exercises were impromptu, without a script, and we worked that first session two at a time, and she chose you to go up there with me, and it was all ad-libbing, and I was a wreck the whole time.
You could have fooled me. I thought you were old pro, man. You were
no,
a mentor.
No, not at all, but it was a wonderful group of people, and you made it easy, and then Diana followed that workshop. I was no longer in it, but Diana stepped in, and I heard she was good too.
Yeah. I think I came a few times.
So, Peter, we're really happy to have you on, and we've been trying to get you on for many, many years.
That's true.
And you finally said, okay already.
It was in a weak moment.
I'm curious, because Cher had the conversation with you, Pedro. So what made you like, okay, after what, 10 years of trying to get you on here, all of a sudden you said, okay, what was that weak moment like? Tell us about it.
You sent me a gift card for Carl's Jr., so I felt I owed you.
We'll have to keep doing that. Okay.
You have no idea how many people benefited from that card.
Oh.
I kept taking people to Carl's Jr.
Oh,
that's
nice. Suspecting
you might own stock in it.
I probably do by now, right?
You should.
What a generous heart. That's sweet.
But since the pandemic, you're not going out to Carl's Jr. or anywhere, right?
I'm not going out anywhere. I have not stepped outside the door, but six times since February 8th, not even for fresh air on the porch. Total hermit, and thank God for Instacart that brings food in every 5 days. God bless them. Do you know about them up there?
Why don't you tell us what it's like for you?
Probably a different name here, Instacart. I don't know that one.
Yeah, Instacart is an organization that delivers food from any of the major stores. They just added Walmart 2 weeks ago. So for $10 a month, they deliver free anything that you need. So it's ideal. I mean, they're masked. and it takes 90 minutes to click on the object on the computer page and have it inside your door in 90 minutes. It's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
It's the greatest invention for seniors, and I wish I had known about it all these years.
Didn't it just get popular because of pandemic, or has it always been around?
Well, you know, everything is changing, as you know. I mean, it's affecting our lives in every single aspect. There's no more going to bingo for me. There's no more meeting for coffee with friends at Starbucks. There's no more parties. Everything has changed. It's like a poor science fiction film.
Yeah, and there's no more film festivals, right?
Well, the one in June, that is the Short Film Fest, they had to do that virtually. And the advantage was it was all free and all those films came online. By the way, speaking of films, I want to tell your listeners that I discovered 2 weeks ago a site online called Tubi, TUBI.com, and they have free films. And I must say, in the last 48 hours, I've watched 6 different gay films. And I am not a fan of gay films by any means. I didn't even like Brokeback Mountain because I don't like straight actors playing gay roles. But these films that I saw were from Germany, the Netherlands, and Japan, and they really were excellent. And I have never seen so many lesbian films listed under their LGBT site, one of 30 genres that they have on this Tubi.com. So really and truthfully, people should give it a shot.
How did you come across it?
Just by accident, trying to find free films to fill the day. And I must say, yesterday I watched 5 in a row. That's called obsession compulsion.
That's what you meant by obsessive compulsive.
Oh, yeah. And I kid you not for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
But I think that there's so much that can be said about these foreign films. They're low budget. I don't even know who these actors are, but gee, I was impressed with them. There was a German film about 2 gay policemen that was extraordinary, I must admit. Another one about soccer players in the Netherlands. Most unusual. I personally did not get into the lesbian films, but the ones that I looked at, one was called Boys, one was called Mario, about the soccer, one was called Free Fall, about the German gay policeman, and then a lesser one was a Japanese film called Utopians. But I would say all very impressive.
And they full length. They're not the short.
They are full length. They run about an hour and 40 minutes apiece. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that site. I'm looking forward to looking at some.
Yes. And the other one, you know, I mean, I don't have too much going for me because I live on $278 a month, which is unheard of. But I have an antenna on the roof for the bedroom TV. And I have another antenna on the window in front living room. And I get 33 channels. I don't have to pay for, you know, subscriptions to channels, you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's the way to live on a budget. So what I'm saying is I look for these free channels. And Tubi is one. and the other is called Pluto. That's similar. They're both free. And I would say save, because I have one that's illicit that I've been using for about a year. And you get all these pop-ups, in my case, half-naked women, and I have to X them out every 30 seconds.
Oh.
They pop up like that game that you see at carnivals where you take a hammer and bop gophers over the head as they come out of their holes.
Oh, you did a lot of bopping.
I'm doing a lot of bopping on this illicit site that I try not to use.
Is that Pluto.com?
No. It's called Couch Tuner.
Couch Tuner. I'm not even going to write that one down.
Don't go there.
I'm not going to go there.
Because it gives you viruses, as I'm learning.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's pop-ups.
Oh, okay.
You might like it because it's naked women.
No.
But I don't.
No.
And there are no naked men.
We don't want any viruses, so.
Physical or virtual.
Oh, so Peter, thank you for sharing that information. You're a wealth of knowledge, I hear.
It's worthwhile. It really is.
And I'm curious. I mean, I know you got your films and you're looking at them, and that keeps you busy. I mean, at least six a day. But you have this joy inside of you, in your voice, when it has a bounce to it. And what keeps you up like that? I mean, you haven't been out since February, and you're watching your movies, and you're inside. I mean, what keeps you bouncy like you? I feel like you're just a ball of energy.
It's people. It's the two of you tonight. That there's something about coming into contact with people, even if it's by remote control, that it just gets me going. It's like an explosion. And my sign of the horoscope is Gemini. So, of course, I love people. And they once said when I took that old test, you'd be good as a lawyer, a preacher, or a teacher. Anything that's going to involve contact with the public. And I believe it. And in sales, of course, you know, you get to the point where you can sell ice in Alaska. That's changing, of course,
right,
with the present situation in the world. Climate change.
I love your sense of humor, Peter. I love how you stroke yourself on the back, too.
A little bit. Anyway, since this is basically a gay program, I was just thinking back of the years. It took 32 years to come out, and I was married with 1.5 children. And it was, those days were really very difficult. It was in New Jersey in a small town, and people really frowned upon even the mention, you know. They never used gay. It was queers. And there was one lad who was about 14 years old and was very queenish. And everyone in town criticized him, but he would actually do drag on Halloween and at age 14 come around trick-or-treating. And I must admit, you know, I realized I always had those feelings, but they were always completely closeted. So I guess tonight with both of you ladies, I could say I'm half out of the closet with you.
Well, we felt honored.
I have to think back of how difficult that was. And the only time I can ever think of really, you know, coming close to coming out was that awful Proposition 8 of several years back. That would be in 2008. And that, of course, was created by opponents of the same-sex marriage. And then they struck that down in August 4th of 2010, ruling that it violated both the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the U.S. Constitution. But I went out with next door neighbors who were straight, and they made a placard for me. I was in a wheelchair at the time, and the placard read, "I am made in the image and likeness of God, and I am gay." Hundreds of people showed up to protest that Proposition 8, and we were able to defeat that preposition, Proposition 8 that they put on the ballot in 2008 and passed. But then remember, it was overturned in 2010. Since it, you know, they said it violated the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses of the Constitution.
So all marriages were real. They were honored, in 2008.
That was the start, because if you recall in our California history, they allowed same-sex marriages for only about 40 days, remember? And then they took them away, that privilege.
Yeah, we called it the window of opportunity to go get married at City Hall.
Exactly, yeah. But it's been, you know, a very interesting kind of background on that. And sad to say, my whole family is estranged of the last 5 years because, you know, the ex-wife and my two children, they just do not go for my lifestyle, but for all purposes is non-existent at the moment.
So that's your grandchildren as well as your child and your ex-wife.
I have a daughter, I have a son, and I have four grandsons, but the only contact I have with all of those people mentioned is thanks to the wonderful computer that's a part of my body. I play Scrabble every day online with 30 people, and one of them is my oldest grandson, who is now 23 years old and living in Michigan. But again, I don't discuss lifestyle.
That's going to be awfully painful.
I try not to think about it. And I would say I am without a doubt the king of denial, health-wise, lifestyle-wise, everything. I just push that denial button and then nothing hurts. I think therapists would have a ball with me, but I must say there have been times when I've had to be a little bit more aggressive about being gay. And one was when I lived in Columbus, Ohio, and was a sales representative for a big publishing company. I had been sober for a number of years. It's now been 46 years that I've not touched a drink. And I must say, in Columbus, they did not have a gay AA. So with the help of a priest, we set it up in my house. Every Sunday, we would have a gay AA meeting. And boy, I sure have been to a lot of gay AA meetings in Sonoma County, but I swear by them. I think a lot of times earlier in my life, gay people, in order to be social and meet other people, would have to go to bars. And you know, the temptation to drink, probably too much, is always there, but you know, it's so simple with a little bit of work and the help of organizations to sober up. Amen.
Amen. Well, congratulations. Did you say 46 years?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Yes.
I know. They say do it a day at a time. And that's exactly what I've done. And suddenly all those days have turned into 46 years. But what I'm saying is there are gay meetings all over, and I think that's vital. And another thing that I've been extremely proud of is what's kept me alive for the last 7 years is a group of 100 women writers. And I've been writing with them. I've been the only man. So I've been blessed among women, and they've been terrific. And I'll have you know that about 40% are lesbians. And some woman stood up at one of the meetings, seminars, and said, "Don't you feel strange being here?" And I said, "No, not in the least. I don't come thinking of gender. I come looking for good writers and ways of learning tricks of the trade." So it's wonderful, I must say, and I maintain those friendships with a lot of exchange of information.
That's terrific. And yep. you send me, every month you send me your writing, and it's just really, you're a fantastic writer.
Well, I still can't say those words that I am a writer, but I must have 400 people on that email list. And truthfully, I judge the success of an article by the number of responses that I get, usually within the first 24 hours. I have found that people don't go for the spiritual ones. I try to avoid politics because it's such a messed up situation right now, that's for sure. But I must say that I'm always racing that midnight deadline, burning the midnight oil, to come up with selections each month. And they've given me a free scholarship for that writing group. So it's been a blessing.
What's one of the pieces of writing that you remember that you really knocked your socks off and you got a lot of great responses for? What comes into your mind?
Very easily. I had a crazy cousin who was anti-Maine personified. She rode horses. She had been on her way to Broadway in 1938 in a play called The Trial of Mary Dugan. She was a John Powers model, just like my mother was. They were cousins 6 years apart, but my mother was the one that made it on magazine covers as Miss Chesterfield way back in the early 30s. And this Auntie Mame was just totally bizarre. Every time I see the movie, I think of her. And I was very close to her. And I must say, the Jenner Playhouse many years ago did a fantastic production of Auntie Mame.
I've just seen the movie.
Okay, movie was pretty good, pretty good. I remember paying $4.90 at the Broadhurst Theater on Broadway twice to see Roz Russell do it, run down that staircase, making her entrance in that wild party scene where Patrick Jr. is arriving with Nora Muldoon being dumped in Auntie Mame's lap. That marvelous thing. But the movie was a very good copy of the Broadway show. I can't say that in most cases when they take a Broadway play or musical and turn it into a movie. They usually ruin it.
Well, speaking of music, it is time for our music break. And you brought along a song. I'd like you to introduce it and say why you know, what the name of the song is and why it means something to you.
It's with pleasure that I present to you a favorite song of mine that is called I Am What I Am. And it is written by Jerry Herman, who did the score for Mame and Hello Dolly. And this song he put in his La Cage aux Folles. And one of the critics who wrote the review of the Broadway show said that this song would probably end up being the gay national anthem. And I hope that you enjoy it as much as I do. And it's sung by Dame Shirley Bassey. A great version of it.
All right. Thank you, Pedro. Enjoy, everybody. I am what I am.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook. Of the ovation, it's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, but it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say. It's noise, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each feather and each spangle? Why not try and see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can say.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, we are talking with Pedro. He is our guest tonight, and we just played one of his favorite songs, I Am What I Am. So welcome back, everyone.
Hello there, Pedro.
Hi.
Listen, what I want to talk about a little bit, I mean, there's a lot. You're a man of many years. You know a lot. You're wise. I'm just curious about your theater background, because you're a critic, right? You're fanatic, and you like film. Are you much about the stage? You say you've done some plays.
Diana, I was a child actor with a playhouse in Deal, New Jersey, where in the summer there was what was called the Straw Hat Circuit. And actors out of work in New York would travel on the East Coast and they would present plays. And they came around door to door selling tickets for their playhouse. And my mother said, I won't buy tickets, but I'll give you a son for the summer. So I went, and they sat me down on top of a grand piano, and this whole entourage of about 25 actors from Broadway all proceeded to perform for me, dancing and singing. And I was hooked. I was 10 years old, and they put me in a play that they were doing that week called Androcles and the Lion, written by George Bernard Shaw. And I had one line, I didn't know what it meant, and it was, and you, Ferobius, will be the roast boar. I played one of the Christians that was going to be fed to the lions. Anyway, many years later, Alan Young, in black and white, did a very poor movie of this Androcles and the Lion. But in high school, I did a lot of plays. I was the head waiter in The Merry Widow at Maxim's, and I was Count Arnheim in The Student Prince, and I was a French Foreign Legion soldier in The Desert Song. But then when I did a routine in a charity show that we presented every summer for one weekend, I had a Broadway showgirl called Boom Boom with me in a number that I did called Neurotic You and Psychopathic Me. And the director wanted to take it on the road because it stole the whole show. Carol Channing had done it in her first play on Broadway, where they discovered her before Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. And it was a show called Lendenier. And my parents stepped up and said, we will disinherit you if you drop out of school. That's it for you. So that ended it. But I went to work for this large publishing house in New York. And they'd send me out. And I remember one day in Minnesota, I was to give workshops for teachers. And the principal had me pull out the stands from each side. And when the teachers started to come in, she said, fill the balcony up first. And when I went to speak, it was 1,600 teachers. And I panicked. I could not say a word. I stood at the microphone and I was speechless. And the nun I was doing the workshop with jumped up and said, sit down, I'll take over. And she replaced me temporarily. But I said, I don't know how I'm going to do this every day. So a friend said, take method acting. So I went downtown Greenwich Village, and there was a guy at that time who was really popular off-Broadway called Gene Frankel. And I took his method acting course, which was fascinating because you'd have to take a shower without taking your clothes off and without water, just the method. And you had to present yourself as an animal in front of the group. And then the next week, put that animal into motion. All of these amazing exercises that helped me get through giving a workshop every day. And I discovered that in the course of working for that publishing company, doing 6 demonstration classes a day, 30 kids in each class, and 30 teachers observing them, that's 60 people times 6 classes, is 360 people a day, times 5 days of the week, times 9 months of the year. Within a short time, I realized, oh my God, I've taught a million students.
Wow. What years were this? Oh my gosh, Peter.
Whoa, that's incredible.
It was 1969 for 11 years thereafter. And that was all levels from kindergarten through adult. But I must say that in recent years, I've taught Spanish because I love Spanish. A cousin of mine, when I was going into high school, that was 1950, she said, "Don't let them give you French or German that they offer to college students." She said, "You go and fight for the right to study Spanish because it's going to be the language of the future," so she claimed. So she said, "You take your parents, you go and see that nun principal and fight for it." And I got it. I was with all those gals that would not go to college, that were in the commercial courses. But oh boy, what it meant for me. I went to Spain for a year to the University of Madrid. I lived 6 years in Puerto Rico. I married a woman who didn't even speak English, who was Catalonian from Barcelona. She learned the four lettered words in English first and had many a chance to use against me. But Spanish has been such a major part of my life.
Did you go to those countries because you wanted to learn Spanish, or you just decided what?
To tell you the truth, as an embarrassing question, I went to Puerto Rico because all my friends had gotten married. But of course, knowing that I was gay, I was not married. And I felt so sad, out of place, I decided I'd take on Puerto Rico and go to teach without any teaching experience, just manuals on how to do it. And those kids, 55 years later, all chipped in and bought me an air conditioner. They raised $2,000 in 48 hours on a GoFundMe and got me an air conditioner, because today is the first day in 102 straight days that we have not been over 100 degrees. So to tell you the truth, that's how I got to Puerto Rico, escaping from New York City.
So you're bilingual in Spanish.
Completamente. Yo hablo el español. And they say, interesting that when I learned Spanish in Madrid, they would say, "¿Cómo has estado?" When I went to Puerto Rico for 6 years, I'd hear, como estao, because they eat the words. It's a mile a minute. And I must admit, I am a big fan of In the Heights and, of course, getting used to Hamilton. Disney put it on for free for 24 hours just a few weeks ago.
Okay, so you went to method school and did acting, and we journey on to you doing Spanish and going over to Puerto Rico. But I'm just thinking about you and theater and your voice and being on stage. It's like you should be on stage, and you didn't do anything else with that? And knowing Spanish, I mean.
No, not until I met Sheridan. All those years had passed, but I'll tell you a little secret. I found my niche in life by directing kids, directing them in plays in Puerto Rico, in San Francisco. What a treat. I could get those kids to do what I would never have the courage to do myself.
Like what?
Oh, to sing and dance and to become the character that they were playing. And they loved it. And when I was teaching in San Francisco, I guess 10 different times, I brought 100 kids to Broadway shows, 10 different shows like 42nd Street, Zorba the Greek, Cats, two rounds of it, and just simply said to the kids, "Hey, your homework assignment is be a critic. Write up the play that you've seen this afternoon." and they loved it. You know, it was such a learning experience. No one ever did that for me. And they would say, we know you love us. You're like, not a father to us. You're like a grandfather to us. Yeah, they were wonderful. I miss the children terribly. I really do. I don't miss that hard work of teaching, but it was very satisfying. I wanted to make a difference in this life. And kids, you can't fool kids. You know, they know when you're speaking from the heart. And I thought, even in Puerto Rico, I can still see Puerto Rican kids with a very heavy accent doing Shakespeare in seventh grade. A scene from A Midsummer Night's Dream. Just priceless. I relocated one after 55 years. His name was Billy, and he was cast in the play. They wanted to do it where the men played women's parts. I was not very much in favor of that, but they insisted. So I cast the toughest kid in the class, and I can still see him in a dress with the head of a mop, that white piece on his head for hair. And I guess all these years he's been a lawyer in the Dominican Republic. But kids, there's nothing better.
Do you have other relationships with other students all these many years later?
They're all playing Scrabble with me. And yeah, and I must have, thanks to Facebook, sorry, they've all reconnected. And I've got more than 400 people. And the kids, I mean, they've accomplished so much. They've run for the Senate. They've written books. I mean, I could not be happier. And one of the things that helped me and helped them was I went to Puerto Rico to teach for $4,500 a year. And I realized they had me, I was teaching speed reading on the side. And I realized I could make more money teaching speed reading to these students. So I set up a little school with four chairs and a lamp, and in a short period of time, without advertising, I had 1,000 clients. I was able to run a little school in Puerto Rico, my own, and hire 5 people to help me with programs at companies, schools, and I turned my living room into a laboratory with 8 separate booths and made a social thing out of it 6 days a week. So I realized now at age 84, the happiest period of my entire life was Puerto Rico. And it breaks my heart to see the things that are happening to them down there. But yes, I am in touch with many, many students.
Did you retire from teaching? I mean, when did you retire, Pedro?
I retired and walked out the door the last day of school when I was 53 years old in San Francisco. I never said a word. I never signed a contract. I had 32 birds at the time, and I took them and put them in cages and gave them to my students and just vanished into thin air. But after all these years, so from 53 to 84, you do the math. I have not, you know, been teaching. Individually, exchanging for house cleaning for an hour of Spanish, teaching and individually, that kind of thing. But I think once a teacher, always a teacher, whether you're teaching bridge or whatever. But I feel very happy with life. But I'm immobile. I can hardly walk anymore. But my brain is still so active. I don't know. I've lost so many friends. I've got 7 in Alzheimer's homes. I've got 3 that are being cared for with Alzheimer's by their spouses. It's sad. You really need guts to age in this life. Nobody makes you prepared for it. It's like the expression, growing old is not for sissies, that's for sure. But I think we always have that choice of making ourselves happy or making ourselves miserable. We always have that choice. And I just think, I'm so appreciative to both of you for being such good role models and even getting me to do this. I mean, I'm sorry that my family doesn't like my lifestyle, but you know what? We make our own families, and it's our friends. And when they say, you know, our friends come into our life, and when we have forgotten how to fly, they help our wings again. They help us fly again. It is so true. I think people come into our lives at different stages for a reason, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. Thank you for that.
I think we've all been in that situation, Peter, to choose our own family, you know,
yes.
Because you're a survivor. I mean, based on what you're sharing with us about your family, I mean, you had to choose yourself. I mean, you had to choose. You had a choice, right? You could have just stayed in the closet and not tell them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have a life and you deserve it.
You know, one of the things, I guess, I keep seeing the same familiar theme in gay films is when married people realize that they're gay and they have to confront their spouse. There was always that question, what do I do? Do I tell my wife what's going on? Do I be truthful? Do I be honest to myself? It's difficult. And some filmmakers can touch the subject beautifully. But I usually find myself weeping through scenes because they are so close to home.
Do you have a scene in mind that you can share with us?
Well, I was trying to do a little bit of research for this program, and I came across some information this afternoon, and it was, I'm sorry to stall here for a second. There is a guy in San Francisco, a psychologist called Eric Samuels. And he had written, accepting who you are and being proud of who you are is the next step on the road to coming out of the closet. If you feel that you don't fit or can't understand why you aren't like other people in your life because you're different, remember that you are you and not anyone else. And that being yourself and accepting yourself for the person that you are is something to be immensely proud of. Tell yourself, for people to accept you, first you have to accept yourself. If your family will not accept you, it's best to find a mentor that can help you. Talking about it or being able to lean on someone will be a great resource. Be selective. The entire world does not have to know about your sexual orientation, nor do they care. It's not necessary to broadcast who you are. Don't come out to a particular person if it doesn't feel right to you. Forgive those who aren't ready to accept you. Unfortunately, and how true this is, humans can be cruel and closed-minded. Inevitably, there will be people who don't approve of our lifestyle, and we'll let you know about it. Instead of wasting your energy on these people, forgive them. Getting angry will only fuel their fire. In order to beat them at their own game, you need to stay level-headed, logical, etc.
This helps you out.
Yeah, be true to yourself.
Be true to yourself.
That's the most important thing.
This is probably a good time for your words of wisdom.
Those are they.
That's what I was thinking. You might just...
Those are they. Yeah. And, you know, I think you have to be true to yourself. And I feel that it's a responsibility that each of us as gay people, we have to be a good example to the outside world. We almost have that responsibility to, I don't want to use the word to convert, but to convince other people that we are worthwhile, that so much of us, 80 to 90% is the same. And I just cannot understand that after all these years, you know, we are still in the process of making progress. We've come a great way in these 84 years of my life, but oh goodness, we still have so much more to go on all respects, really.
Yes, we do. But that's good advice.
We want to thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
My pleasure. What a great joy you both bring. I'm so glad to know you. I'm so glad to help in any way. I love you and bless you.
Oh, thank you so much. We would like everyone to remember that, like Pedro, you too can be living proof that through sharing your craft and your passion and your creative expression, you can make our world a better world. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then, good night.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. And you can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never.
On air, online, or on the go, we are Radio 91, KRCB-FM Windsor, and K215-CQ Santa Rosa. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next.